Welcome back, my debt-free millionaire zealots. Hey, this is Zach Edwards for another debt-free millionaire podcast and personal finance course. Today, actually, we are doing a bonus episode. This episode is basically, we will have fillers in every once in a while when there's a lot to do in the book, and we want to give you a little bit of time to catch up, because the next time we do a show, it's going to be week two, and we want to be able to have you all caught up before you go into week two. So for this episode, we're actually going to do our bonus episode where I show you a story of one of my successes and how you can actually find success in the same type. Okay, so let's go back. Let's go further back than where the story starts. Let's start off with one of the biggest things that I did in the last probably like 5 years. And that was actually getting my real estate license. Now, if you don't know, right now is when they're actually going through this big litigation. They actually just settled it with the NAR, the National Association for Realtors. And basically, the litigation was on the fact that most realtors were going for 6% commission. Well, think of it this way. No real estate agent gets 6% unless they are both the buyer's agent and the seller's agent, which is not that common. Instead, we have the opportunity as a real estate agent to ask for 6% because 3% goes to us, 3% goes to our whoever the buyer's agent is. So we're the seller's agent if we list the house, and the buyer's agent is the one that brings the buyers in. So we get 3%, they get 3%. Now, you think that's a great amount, but then you think of most of the real estate brokers take almost 50%, 45, 55, maybe even 40%, but most of them take around the 50%. So you went from 3% down to 1.5%. Okay, so that's still a good amount. If you sell a $100,000 home, well, you're going to make up $1,500, and you're probably going to put at least 100 hours into it. So that's not a very good deal, but there's not many houses that are for just $100,000 anymore. So, but say you sell a $300,000 home, that's still $4,500. At the same time, you're also having to pay for all your insurances because there's no full-time employer. You have to pay for any kind of marketing material. You have to pay for any gifts that you give to the buyer. There's a lot of different expenses that come into it. And so right now there's a litigation that it shouldn't be this way. And so now some people are saying that the commission will actually be cut in half. So think of it this way. Now you're asking for 3% commission. That means 1.5 of the commission goes to me, 1.5 goes to the commission for the buyer's agent. Okay, so that's nice and handy. I mean, that's okay amount when you're selling a $300,000 home. But what happens if your broker, again, takes half of that? So you went from $4,500 to about $2,000. Most real estate agents sell 2 to 4 houses every month. Some are even less than that. Well, for those that are newcomers, there's going to be less newcomers coming into the market for this reason. But I still would never have given up my real estate license because I've purchased 5 or 6 houses off of this license. Which means any commission that I would have given to an agent, I now keep, as at least my part, my side, because I'll be the selling agent on all of my deals or the buying agent on the other side. And I don't care if I get 1.5% commission, that's fine with me because it's my own property. So I'm going to negotiate enough to get it down enough that I would actually see myself finding a good deal and buying it. So then you think, okay, so now I've got my real estate agent license. Why is this so important? Well, because you're going to find houses that might be in the $400,000 range. Well, a used to be 6%. That is about $24,000 split between two agents and then split between their brokers. But $24,000 that you would lose. So if I was the selling agent, I would only lose half of that. So I'd still lose $12,000 to the other agent because I'd have to give it to them. But allowing me to have my real estate license also allows me an inside look into the MLS. The MLS is basically a storage of all houses that are on the market or coming to the market. and the real estate agent basically gets the first dibs. But here's another thing to know. Most of the time, the real estate agent is now funneling out. As soon as that information comes out, they have an email drip campaign to their buyers, so they're automatically getting it as well. So there is, like, as a real estate agent, there's no real benefit in getting to the MLS first, but there are a lot of tools in there as well that you can use that help you to understand how much the house is actually worth. Okay, long story short, one of the best things that I did for my business when it comes to investments is actually buying or getting my real estate license. It was a long process. It was about 6 months altogether, and it was a lot of money at the time. So it was definitely worth it to get in and then keep it. Now, I haven't been active in real estate except when I want to buy my own properties. My broker's fine with it because I actually bring in some extra business to them. But what I want to do is I want to be able to find houses when I can, buy those up and not pay someone a commission or pay at least half of the commission. So that's what I do. So going further into the story, I then started listing other people's houses. Now, I had this duplex came up because of one of my family members. Actually, it was my wife's family. And so they actually, I think they Facebook messaged my wife, asked her if I was available as a real estate agent to list his house. I said, yeah, I'd be happy to. So the house itself, not in the state that it was at, but what it could be, was about $210,000. No, it would be no issue with getting $210,000 if it was in good condition. But it took me a while to actually go see the house. And I already told him it was about $210,000. At least the value would be. And then I get there and it has paint peeling from all different parts of the house. I mean, it was really bad. It had all these issues inside the house. It had one side that was rented and one that was actually rented, but that person was vacating the property. So that was also a loss of income of anybody that came into the house. So the price just kept dropping and dropping and dropping. So I did list it, and I listed it for, I think, about $200,000. And everyone undercut. It went down to, there was one person that offered like $155. There was one person that offered $170. And then it was between $170 and $180 was the rest of them. And there's probably like five different deals. So I said to my wife, I said, you know what? There's all these people that are going for this commission. It'd be nice to be able to have that commission right away. But we could buy this property. I could fix it up while doing my full-time job as in construction. And yeah, it would be great. Well, here's the funny part. So we did go into the deal. The home seller was actually interested in it. Again, he was family, so, and everyone actually told me, don't deal with him. You never know what's gonna happen. But because you don't mix family and business. But I said, I've gone through the house. I know this house fairly well. With a construction background, it is great to be able to have this understanding and experience to be able to walk through a house and say, okay, this is gonna need to be fixed. This is gonna need to be fixed. And so we bought the house. The day that we closed was a great day. We closed on the house, everything was great. The next day, I lost my job. That's right. So in residential construction, it was one of the recessions, and I lost my job. Luckily, we had this house already closed, so my wife didn't want to back out. She would have backed out. She would totally have tried to back out if I wasn't working, if I'd lost my job the day before. So we got this house. Now, I had actually planned on fixing it up over a month's period, being able to have a full-time job and fix up the house. So that's one thing that it's negative in me. I'm very optimistic about things. I want to be able to get things done faster than they really can be done. I want to get them for under the budget of what they should be done and things like that. And so my wife basically said, yeah, you don't work right now. So get your butt over to the duplex and start working on it. So that's what I did. And it took me a month to get it up and running. And without a job, that was great. The price tag, I said that we could fix it around $4,000. We were actually gonna come under budget. And then my wife said, you know what, these appliances that are here, we really need to get rid of them. They're safe, they're not safe. And I totally agree, they weren't. And then she said, we need to go find some new ones or at least some used ones that we can buy for basically the same price as we can get rid of these. So we sold them for $100 and we went out and looked for other properties. Other appliances. And we went around everywhere, and there were no stainless steel, which is what we wanted, the type that we wanted, and for a good price. And then she found this place. It was a scratch and dent place. And actually, I'll say the name, American Freight. This is actually a place that gives you dented, scratched, but minuscule, so small that you wouldn't even know that the dent's there or the scratch is there. But because they scratched it on the freight, they can't sell it for full price anymore. So they sell it to someone like American Freight, and American Freight sells it to me. So I got an oven, I got and a fridge for half price. So when I would have spent like $2,000 for these appliances, I spent about, I think it was between $800 and $900 on both appliances. But here's the thing, those appliances should last me the next 5 years at least. And I have the warranties to go with them. So this was another great buy. And yes, it did cost us an extra $1,000 to the budget, but hopefully in the long run, it'll be great. Plus, anybody that walked through the house, brand new appliances, that's a huge turn on. People want brand new houses or brand new appliances when they move in. They don't want the dirty, the rusted, the scratched, all these things. And again, minuscule scratches or dents. And these ones that we purchased, I think I saw a scratch like that big on the fridge and the oven. I don't even know where it was. So hopefully I didn't miss it. But yeah, so it was great. So I went through and I finished up the whole house. I did everything from replacing the tile. Actually, I tore out the linoleum and the subfloor, the under alignment, and then the subfloor because it was completely soaked through and the floor was so spongy. I tore that out and I put brand new subfloor in. I put a new concrete board. I put in new tile. It looks great. It looks so good. We didn't get new cabinets. We just painted them. That's all they really needed. And they look great. The floors, we sanded down certain spots depending on if there was stuff stuck in them. And then we actually just put new poly down, painted it on, and then put a few coats of that. And it's a nice, slick look. Everything looks great. We did put a stain and then a poly. A stain for anywhere that was sanded down. But we did actually stain the whole floor. So it looks even. So the floor looks great. The bathroom, we fixed up the tub because it was all scratched and dirty and such. So we repainted the interior, put all brand new tile walls up, tile floor. We actually replaced the cabinet. We kept the cabinet, but we replaced the countertop for it. And that was great because we bought it for like, I think $25, maybe $50. We bumped out the cabinet just slightly by a 2x4, so 3.5 inches. And this countertop fit great. It was actually bigger than the original one. But because it bounced it out a little bit more, it actually looked bigger, which was also amazing. We also put a bunch of new trim work up all throughout the house. So this house looked superb by the time we had renters going. We didn't just do it for a renter. We did it for a buyer because we wanted the renter to be able to go in and like the place for a long period of time. We also finished the basement garage that was turned into a bedroom and was horribly done. We had to self-level the floor. I added a walk-in closet. So this bedroom downstairs in the garage was nicer than the master bedroom. We did all these different things. It was a great house. And if I sold it at that point, I would have gotten $210,000. Or if I sold it with both tenants and also newly renovated, I would have sold it for $210,000. So as of right now, we bought it for about $180,000. We put in we put in $40,000 for the down payment. We put in another $4,000 in the end. It only cost $4,000 to redo the whole inside. And the buyer went on the outside and the seller actually, I talked him into redoing the outside because it was not presentable to anybody that wanted to buy the house. So I had my own paint company from the residential company that I was working for. They went in, they scraped all the walls, and then they painted all the walls on the exterior, and it looked great. It was probably not the best colors, and they also painted over things that were not supposed to be painted over, like hardware and stuff, so we went back in there and repainted them. But 1 month later, we went out for renters. Now, most people were saying that the renting the rentals were, sorry, the tenants, the potential tenants, that there weren't many people looking. We posted on Facebook, we posted on Zillow, we posted on MLS because I'm a real estate agent, and we had 40 to 50 different applicants. And finally, we found the perfect person. Mother, daughter, everything was great. They were had great referrals from their employers. So we'll actually walk you through this and walk you through some of the parts that you need to look at and consider when buying or selling or renting out a house. But this is one of the great successes. So right now, it pays us plenty to pay off the mortgage and then some. And our interest rate was at 7%. So the hope is that when the rates go down, we can actually decrease our mortgage interest rate and actually be paying, instead of, I think it's like $1,100 a month that we're paying, we'd be paying about $400, $500 a month. And that's if the interest rates go down a lot. But we're waiting for that. And we're still making money right now. So we're putting all of our money into an emergency fund. So we're not touching any of the money. It goes into this emergency fund. And when we get to a certain point, we'll actually start taking some money to put into a savings account to buy the next house. We won't actually take any profits from this business. And we will keep going between house and house and house. We'll basically keep buying new houses off the money that we're saving. And potentially, if we can get a good mortgage rate, we could probably put $1,500 a month into our bank account for the next house. So that within the next 3 years, just from the sale of this house or the renting of this house, we can actually have enough to buy the next house. And so on and so forth. So now we're going to be adding more houses as we go, but that's the potential. The basic idea is we want to buy a new house every year, but we have to get to that point before we can move forward. So hopefully you learned something from this. Again, this is a time where you can actually write me and ask me any questions you want. So next time we meet, I will actually give you our email. Well, let me see. I will put it on our, I'm trying to think where to put it so that I don't get spammers to come through. Go to our website. It's debtfreemillionaireinvestor.com and ask us there. So there, we'll actually have a message board on our website. And after that point, we're happy to give you, we just don't want the spammers because there's so many spammers out there just trying to sell you whatnot and spam you and then also give you viruses and things like that. So yeah, ask me any questions you might have. I'd love to answer them when it comes to buying, selling, or whatever. We're going to help you with that. When it comes to buying and selling investments, when it comes to starting a business, we're going to go into the business section as well. When we get my business book, our big business book published, we'll be able to go through that as well. So again, this is week one complete. You've done it. You've gone through your, let's see, your goals, your savings, your income, your expenses, and your retirement all in week one. Wow. That's a pretty good week. And actually that was five. So actually next week is going to be, there's a lot more coming out next week. Again, we will tell you exactly when that book comes out so you can purchase it and use it while you're listening to me talk. But this is, again, a bonus episode on Friday, and Monday will be week two, day one, and the actual topic will be on sources of your income. So we actually teach you about what we call the four-legged stool. That's having multiple streams of income or legs, just in case one comes out. If you have four legs, one leg comes off, you still have three legs to sit on. And so that allows you to always have income coming in to your life. So we're going to walk you through all these things. If you have any questions, email me anytime. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you're not yet a debt-free millionaire zealot, I hope to make you one. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye.